Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, you, listen up. Yeah, you guys know, we're back again. We've partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. Louis Lens, guys. LouisLens.com. All right. You've heard the ad over the last couple months, and we are sticking with Louis. He has proved to be one of the best, truly. And you can see that in his Google reviews. He has 112 reviews, 5-star rating on Google. He is who you need to go to if you have mortgage needs. Wade Anderson on Google said, Louis did a great job working on our new mortgage. He went out of his way to make sure we got the best rate on our new home and worked extended hours some days to meet our work schedules. Would recommend anyone looking to purchase a new home to speak with Louis to make their dream of home buying a reality. Isn't that what you want? When you're trying to be in that process of buying a home, something that most people don't know a lot about, you want somebody that's going to give you the peace of mind and make you feel like as you walk away from that situation that you got the best deal and you were able to go through the entire process simply and educated throughout the entire thing. All right, Louis' cell phone number is 515-238-9949. Did you guys know that HousingWire, according to HousingWire, 90% of Americans could benefit from a mortgage refinance today? Call Louis at 515-238-9949. If you have a mortgage and haven't looked at it yet, call Louis, 515-238-9949. Hey, what's up, guys? So glad you're here today for the show. In today's episode, we talk about the Iowa Media Day quotes from some of the Iowa football players, a couple big-time game announcements for the Iowa basketball team. We talk about breath work and walking for fitness and Drake's 3-hour-long walk in sweatpants in the Arizona heat and coffee enemas. Yeah, let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in to episode 151 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. And it's an exciting time. Drake and I will be going at the episode, just us two today. And I want to start the episode with a quote. All right, this quote was by a man who has, he's an interesting, polarizing figure, many would say, many would call him. He has, in his past, been at the top of his game and asked to perform at an elite level in front of dozens of thousands of people. And the quote goes something like this. You ain't a real man if you don't put caffeine in your butt. You know who that man was, Drake?
That was me.
That was you. That was you.
Yep. And it's true. If you've never given yourself an espresso enema, then you've never really lived. Because when we played football, the coaches used to always talk about how it should be easy to get out of bed in the morning and be a Big Ten football player, even though it wasn't at all. But in the real world, which is so much more boring, it's monotonous as hell. Sometimes you got to give yourself a caffeinated enema to get the day started.
And that quote, we were talking about, we were talking about what was happening in your day. You were, I believe, getting your mother's car serviced, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Yeah, man. Just doing the handyman work around mom's house.
Yeah, just being a man. And he said it was taking forever. And I was like, well, whenever Jim Bob gets done and you get back to the house, we'll fire up the podcast. And you responded with, Jim Bob needs espresso in his ass. Hinting at the fact that he needed to speed it up. So that's how quickly conversations between you or I or anybody else in the Benton chat, the Benton chat is now called Moose Puke. I mean, the name of the chat changes from conversation to conversation when we have like a new theme. But that's how quickly conversations can go downhill. So I hope you're all really inspired by the opening quote, and maybe we'll start doing quotes to open up the podcast from now on.
Might get me put in jail.
Yeah, there's a chance. There's definitely a chance. I'm excited because, first of all, we haven't done a Tyler and Drake episode for a while, and we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. We planned on doing it Wednesday evening, but old Kevy Kev, the guy, the one third of this podcast who puts in an honest day's work.
Does he though?
I mean, he puts in an honest day's work, but enough for all three of us, which is really why I don't feel the need to go and get a job. The man works, and I respect it. I respect it. Anyone out there who's grinding 10, 12 hour days, absolute respect to you guys, because that level of dedication is something that a lot of people don't have. Kevin, he's not necessarily missing it for work. He's schmoozing at a work dinner.
I was literally about to say, let's talk about what he's actually missing the podcast for.
Yeah,
it's to eat good food and drink expensive liquor on Striker's dime while schmoozing people that they ask him to schmooze.
For sure.
So Kevin's eating good food and ass at the same time.
Okay. That's true. His job description, if they were really to dial it down, is to kiss a little ass, you know, corporate world. That's how it works with some, and it pays off. You kiss a little ass, sell a little product, win-win for everybody. He's probably just at this point, Kevin's probably had so many ounces of steak that Stryker paid for, tons of beer. And I'm happy for him, 'cause I know that makes him happy. And similar to you, Kevin, you guys have switches that are flipped quickly, and the triggers for those are different for each of you, as they are for any human. But when Kevin flips his switch, it's just he just gets pissed, and there's nothing that really, like, at least with you, it's entertaining. Kevin, he just shuts down, and so. Anyway, Kevin won't be here. He's going to be drinking beer. So it's me and you. Now, again, in that conversation, right before we started this podcast, I had just gotten out of the shower. I took a walk. And I want to take a moment to address the health and fitness of our listeners. You guys have seen me tweet it before. If you follow me on Twitter, you guys gotta go for a walk. Drake actually, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I've been going on a walk every day for about the last 3 months. It's been a huge part of my fitness. And you would think like, oh, a walk, that doesn't seem to be like a, some kind of workout that's really going to give you a bunch of results. It's severely underrated, and I could go into a bunch of details that I won't. Drake took a walk this summer in the Arizona heat, fully clothed in sweatpants and a sweatshirt, that lasted 3 hours. Now, there was a destination that he was going to and then coming back from. But what exactly was the idea behind that walk, and why did you wear full sweat?
So, dude, do you want to know the truth, like the non-politically correct truth?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
All right. So I had seen on TV an African documentary about how the women had to carry the jugs of water for like however many miles just to get water for their family. And I'm like, wow, that is an insane way to live. And like, I can't imagine having to live that way. And it was 110 one day in Arizona. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take one bottle of water. I'm going to dress in sweatpants. And I had an errand that a roommate had asked me to run. And I knew that the store was about 5 miles one way and then five back. And so I just took off on the walk on that 10-mile round trip. And it turned out to be a horrid idea.
So the motivation behind it was purely empathetic.
It was empathetic as well as very intrigued by what they had to go through.
Yeah, it's funny. Lauren and I talk about it all the time. First world problems. You know, things like, you know, the Wi-Fi doesn't work or the internet is slow is like a huge complication in our day. It pales in comparison to, you know, what you're talking about in an African village. You know, someone who lives in the African village has to go fetch water because they don't have the infrastructure that we have in the United States. And on that walk, who knows, maybe there's a goddamn lion, you know, slightly bigger problem than the Wi-Fi not working. It's just so, and that walk, you know, a daily walk of an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours in the African heat, obviously one extreme versus the other, but a perspective walk is what you took. I appreciate it.
I took a little perspective walk.
When I got in the shower, I've also for the last 3 months been taking cold showers. And I think honestly, they're incredible. If anybody wants to really research the benefits of cold showers, hit up bengreenfieldfitness.com and search cold thermogenesis. Kind of a nerdy thing that I've gotten into as far as like biohacking and trying to increase fitness and fat burning and all this bullshit that I go through in my daily life. And I remembered, it actually made me think back to when we were in college. And Jordan Canzeri used to, when we used to shower like after practice, I don't know if you knew this. I mean, you were in the room with him, so we might have talked about it. He would take every shower he took, it was a cold shower. And I was always so confused at why he was doing it. And evidently too naive to really look into why, like what's the reasoning behind this? Similar to like how Ryan Boyle and Tyler Wiegers would lay on the ground, like in between meetings and practice, and practice Wim Hof breathing. Which is another thing that I've been practicing since really the Frank Garza episode when he talked about your breath work and mental training. I've been trying to work on my breathing. Part of that is in the cold shower, because obviously anyone who's ever jumped in like a cold pool or stream or river, whatever, your breathing just starts to freak out. And I've actually dialed it in really well. And I think it's helped with my actual workouts and like my running, which is super intriguing. But walking and cold showers, those are my fitness tips of the day and my suggestions. We'll move on. We have some actual Hawkeye content to talk about today. And that's because There was a media day yesterday. I actually need to pull up the points that I was going to make on that. But the Iowa football players, at least some of them, I believe 10 of them, were allowed to talk to the media for the first time for 2020, or at least, I guess, since we've re-entered the whole season being open.
Pretty pissed we didn't get that invite.
Yeah, right? Like,
that's honestly bullshit, considering we've had so many people reach out that thanked us for what we've done for the program from a, quote, media standpoint.
Well, dead ass.
I feel like we should have got that invite.
Well, all the media members, they have to, I believe, each year apply for a media pass. And I dead ass looked into it, at least surface level, and may look into it further. I don't know what qualifies. And really, I mean... I don't know if I truly even want to be. Do I really want to drive to Iowa City with, you know, because I have the opportunity to go and ask players? I do think that I could provide some incredible content from a player's perspective who's only not even a half decade out of the program, asking questions that aren't like dumbass reporter questions. And that's not to say any reporters or media people who listen to this, that's not to say that all your questions are dumb, but I get it. There's an agenda a lot of times behind some of the questions that you ask. Like they're the same old questions. I think that a player's perspective, and oftentimes when you see, you know, some of the best people in media, at least in my opinion, obviously this drives the motivation for our show, but you look at a guy like Pat McAfee or a guy like Dan Orlovsky or, AJ Hawk.
Just so we're clear that, yeah, McAfee and Hawk are two of my absolute heroes. So
keep going.
That's all I got to say. That's where this podcast is based.
Yeah.
Is that we love the way that they can disassociate from the public agenda.
They create a entertaining, feel to a platform that has long been dominated by kind of oftentimes people who haven't been there, right? And that's the pull of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. It's the pull of the Pat McAfee show. It's run by people who were once a part of it and now are not a part of it, but they talk from a place of knowing what goes on, knowing the ins and outs, and that's what makes it funny. That's what makes it real. That's what makes it entertaining. Not only that, but similar to McAfee, we don't have a network. I mean, we actually are on a network now, but luckily one that, well, not luckily, we made sure it was one that allows us freedom to create what we want. Similar to McAfee, he's got his own show. I mean, you can cuss, you can kind of go after and explain instead of like, tonight LeBron scored 28 points, had 11 assists, and the Lakers looked good. Like, it's just so getting out of that norm. And yeah, so I think it would be cool to kind of go and to go and ask players those questions, keep it light, keep it loose. But nonetheless, the reporters, the real reporters went and asked those questions. And so we got a few key takeaways to what a couple of them said. And I want to start off with Keith. And I'm sure you saw it on social media. He was asked if he regrets anything about the blown kiss to Nebraska.
And I hope he responded with, I regret absolutely fucking nothing.
I'd like to apologize for absolutely nothing. That is exactly what he said, Drake. He said he regrets nothing about the Nebraska kiss and wishes he would have celebrated longer.
That, oh, I'm a little bit erect.
Yeah. Yeah, there was you know, and I don't know if Steve Rowe or KF are going to be so high on that answer, but I mean, Keith doesn't give a shit. It's just a perfect little, and that goes right to Nebraska's locker room. Like they're going to see that, their media people, all their coaching staff, they're going to paste that quote. That's straight up bulletin board material. And Keith is stoking that fire.
I can't wait to bring my dude on the podcast. I love me some Keith Duncan, man. Dude, long live the legend, all-American kid.
When we get Keith on, and which brings up another point. Jordan Bohannon and a buddy recently created a podcast called The Standpoint, and they've already had on Keith Duncan and Spencer Petras. And so now we're getting, you know, they're probably the most similar podcast to us. They're in the basketball realm. Obviously they're not exactly like us. Jordan's still playing, so it's not the same feel. But a ton of people have asked, like, Jordan had these guys on, why haven't you? And again, it's this respect from the guys who have been in the program and played for Coach Ferentz, played for those guys. It's a respect of, we know the feeling of our show and we know where it could potentially go. And honestly, the best shows that we're going to have are when we have stories that are told that can't be told from a guy in the program, because it may just be a little too much when you're still trying to focus on playing well and being a part of the team. We respect the coaches. We respect the players. We don't want to bring them into a relaxed environment like this and start telling stories that are going to affect things that are currently going on. So that's why we wait until they're out of the program. So there's your answer on that. But yeah, he said he regrets nothing and he wishes he would have celebrated longer. And he just KD stoking the fire, baby. I can't wait. You know, he has this last year, and technically I didn't realize this until just as of late. I was talking to my brother. This year does not count for anyone. You know that?
I did not.
So because this year is so messed up, some people are opting out, yada, yada. This year is a free year. Anyone who is in college right now gets a free year. So
yeah, but what does that do with scholarships in the future?
I don't know. And it's not my job or our job to figure that out. But if so, say Keith Duncan is going into his senior year right now, Keith can technically come back next year. He's like a redshirt.
I'll be damned.
And so my brother, who is in his redshirt freshman year, his second year, second season, this would be, technically has 4 seasons left. He now has 5 seasons left. Like, everybody gets an extra year.
Dude, you better tell your brother from the outside perspective, from the over the hill perspective, to enjoy the piss out of that extra year.
It's exactly what we talked about. He FaceTimed me the other day. He's like, dude, I'm going to be in college till I'm fucking 29, man.
And you were the luckiest bastard of all time.
That's what I said. I was like, dude, you basically get to grow up and like mature as an adult, but still in the college setting while you're playing. And you get to skip this weird period where like you're 22 and you're still a kid, 23 and you're still a kid. And then like there's these 2 or 3 years till you're like our age now at 25, 26, when you start to like, you know, most people are probably at least outwardly more mature than we are. But I feel like in the last 3 years, especially being out of the program, and part of it is being outside of the program, no doubt, but I feel like I've matured so much. The way I think about things, the way I interact with people, the way I, you know, go about certain situations has just completely changed. And he gets to spend all of that time during those years of his life while still playing the game. Not only that, and it's not so much of a big deal for him because he plays long snapper, but the physical maturity of him at 25 years old in his final season, like, he's going to be stacked. He's 6'1". He's going to be 235, 240. And if he, you know, if he does nutrition and training right, he's going to be a stacked, like the most stacked long snapper in the fucking country. And I can't wait for it. I'm here for it.
Let's see if he can overcome that you are his brother and he has to live with that.
I mean, I get told all the time, you know, when I do catch up with Coach Wallace or Coach Bell or Coach Woods, I've been told by every single one of them, like, well, he's, you know, he's more athletic than you. And I'm like, dude, oh, no shit. I mean, yeah, he's more athletic than me. I mean, he's not going to run a better 5.10.5 than me, but he's more athletic than me. And, you know, 4 years of starting from myself, hopefully another 4 or potentially, well, hopefully another 4, you know, Spiewak will probably take this season, which he should. But hopefully 4 years from Zach, that'll be almost a decade of Kluver long snapping inside of Iowa football. And I'm just,
with the thought of that makes me want to vomit a little bit.
I know
bit.
It does, but it makes me just, makes me feel good. So that's what Keith said. Tyler Goodson, you know, and this has to be taken with a grain of salt because he's going to be a second year. Tyler said that this is a team. He feels like that this is a team he could see in the Big Ten championship. And I tweeted a little GIF yesterday with that quote.
Well, he's right about the talent, man. He's right.
Yeah, which actually into the next quote too from Petrus. Petrus said that Let me guess.
Did Petrus say, and I quote, well, I can't fuck this up.
It is pretty close, dude. It's really close. He said that Petrus wants to make sure that the offensive talent this year doesn't go to waste, and that's on him.
Hey, you guys, you know what's not cool this year? 2020. It hasn't been the best year. All right. We've all been struggling. There is, however, a silver lining in every bad situation. One of those silver linings this year has been DoorDash. Let me talk to you about it. Have you ever been sitting there thinking about, oh, I could use a pizza, or I could use a sandwich, or I could use a burger, but I don't have the time to go get it. I have something to do here at the house, or I'm just not feeling like jumping in the car. Well, guess what? DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE, BLUEWIRE, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Go get that grub.
Hey guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know we've officially partnered with AdCraft, the merchandise company that does all of our clothes. We, back in 2018, quickly found out that you guys were going to want merchandise. People wanted to wear Hawks by a Million and other themes of our show on their body. And it's a great idea. And we found a company that allowed us to put together designs and a store very quickly. And we even ran that store for a pre-Christmas sale in 2018 and did thousands of dollars worth of revenue, all to see it come crashing down when our original company kind of crapped out on us. And so we had to go shopping. We had to fix that situation after a bunch of research and looking around. AdCraft USA out of Clinton, Iowa was the choice that we went with, and we could not be happier. Guys, again, AdCraft is a family-owned company. Since 1974, they do custom apparel and merchandise for teams, organizations, and companies all around the state and beyond, and they have a brand new customization tool. Guys, I'm telling you, you can do stuff like hoodies, t-shirts, long sleeves, performance tees, tanks, baseball tees, and more. It's seriously a cool product, and it's very easy to use. I've been on here messing around by myself. AdCraftDesign.com, AdCraftDesign.com. And best of all, listeners of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast get 20% off their order when they use code WALKON, WALKON. That's code WALKON, WALKON, at AdCraftDesign.com. Go make that custom merch. And now back to the show.
So, I mean, he knows exactly what his role is. It's hey, I've got AK-47s all over the place. I just have to make sure that we pull the trigger. Like, that's what it is.
I like that analogy, man.
Here's a question that I'm curious from your perspective. I wish Kevin was here to answer it too. I think it would be interesting for many of our former teammates, just because of different positions, different ages, stuff like that.
No, I would not love to have had a sixth year to run 9-on-7. That would have filthed the piss out of me. But if I could have played 12 more games, it would have been tremendous.
That wasn't the
question. But I mean, if I really had to go through a sixth year of 9-on-7 when Brian called the same first play and everybody knew it, I would be filthed.
But you do it.
Having lived life after football, I would go back into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I think is an interesting, interesting question. And it is, knowing that Spencer is in this position with the offensive talent that he has, do you think it's better that the running backs, the tight ends, first of all, I've heard Laporta is just insane. I mean, I know we have said that before, but Laporta is going to be, I mean, Laporta is potentially the next Hawkinson, Fant, Kittle. I mean, I think
he looks very, very similar to TJ when he was young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very similar to a young TJ.
So we've got the tight end. We've got the freaking running backs. Everything's coming together at once. We have three future guaranteed NFL linemen. Who knows about the other two? Do you think this being Spencer's first year is almost, you know, is somewhat a blessing? Obviously, you would take the experience, but knowing that he's coming in and he doesn't have anything personally to improve on, there is no last season. What did Spencer do last season? What do I have to be this year? There's almost no personal goals that he has to go, that he needs to go and chase, or that he needs to go and be great. He just needs to be the guy, the glue that kind of gets it done and gets the ball in the playmaker's hands. He almost steps into this role without having, like, you know, say he was a 2-year starter, or he had started last year, and now all of a sudden after 1 year, we have all these, I feel like he almost would force some things in the other way around. I don't know. The mindset that he's going to bring to this season is really interesting. I think the fact that it's his first year and he has all of this talent around him, I think it's a crazy dynamic. What do you think?
The offensive line's the glue. The offensive line and the play callers are the glue.
Yeah.
Because Brian is going to, as long as the offensive line plays well, Iowa football plays well. Because if they're playing well, we're running the ball well. And if we're running the ball well, our play action is unstoppable. And Brian has to be the one, knowing that he has a first-year quarterback who through the first probably 3 or 4 games, head is going to be spinning like crazy, because things happen faster out in Kinnick than they do out on the practice field. It just is what it is. And so if Brian can simplify the offense for Spencer a little bit early so that he can take some of the mental gymnastics out of it and our offensive line can play well, the kid's going to have no problem. He's going to sit back there and throw to kids that are wide open because our guys are just better than theirs.
I'm so excited to watch the receivers make plays. So we have two important transfers that have come in. Coy Kronk, Indiana offensive lineman. Obviously, we know about that one. We've mentioned it before. But what came out in the media day yesterday was Brandon Smith got on the mic and said that a kid named, I didn't even know he was a thing, a kid named Charlie Jones, who is a grad transfer from Buffalo, has been getting a ton of reps at receiver with the ones. And I mean, if we had a freaking receiver core before, we just added another one. Like, if he's getting that many reps with the ones, that means he's good. That means he's doing something.
I mean, they can't all get the ball unless we run 90 plays a game. So if we've got an offense that's good enough to run 15 play drives every single time they have the ball, then these guys will all be happy.
It'd be insane, dude. And what's nice is, I do understand that rhythm and kind of getting in the flow of the game helps too, and not getting pulled out, put back in, pulled out. But if these guys get tired, the depth that we're going to have, you know, like Brandon's, you know, someone gets hurt. Injuries are inevitable in football. You know, the depth that we have, gosh, it just doesn't hurt. It just doesn't. And that's an exciting thing. And then finally, the big one that I saw, it wasn't so much news or anything to me especially, but a few people were questioning the decision or Coach Woods, and it was that Amir Smith-Marset was not working at punt return. And the answer is a little bit more complex than just responding to somebody on Twitter, which was I was going to do initially. I think people need to understand that kick return and punt return are different, first of all. And in fact, didn't you return punts in high school, Drake?
I returned kicks and punts, but I was an all-around athlete.
Yeah, you were ATH. And so, you know, high school, not as big of a deal, but with the schemes that come in the college setting, you know, being a punt returner, I'm not saying that Amir Smith-Marset couldn't handle mentally, you know, kind of the schemes and the idea of what we want to do on both punt return and kick return, but know as a fan that it is different. The dynamic of a punt return versus a kick return is very different. And sometimes people are better at one than others. Now, Desmond, he was just good at both. You're not going to find a Desmond King very often who just has that feel. Amir Smith-Marset has obviously proved to be one of the best kick returners, kickoff returners in the country. However, and you guys as fans have seen it in Kinnick before, punt returns are an entirely different ballgame. There's a lot less space. There's a lot less or a lot more variability in where that ball is going to go. On a kickoff, you've got about a, you know, especially going into a game, you know, it, this guy's going to kick it about 63 yards or 73 yards, 5 yard window. So I'm going to line up here. I might have to take a few steps back, a few steps up if he mishits it, but this is where it's going to be. And generally, not only do you have two guys returning, but generally they're going to kick it to you because they trust their team to either go down and get a tackle or they trust the kicker to get a touchback. Now on the punt, they're trying to kick it away from you every time. And not only that, punts could vary, you know, anywhere from mid 30s to mid 50s, depending on weather, wind, direction, place on the field, time of game. Like there's so many different things in a punt return that vary where that punt is going to happen. You're catching punts. Most of the time it's coming down with a different spin, at a different angle, and the guys are going to be much closer to you in your face. The angles that you're going to take when you catch that ball are going to be much different. So ISM not working punt return, don't be mad that he isn't doing it. Because the coaches, guaranteed, this is where we have to come back to that trust thing, they're going to have the best punt returner in that slot. And
you know what I think it is, Bob? You gave that huge analysis. You know what I think it is? I think it's that they know Amir has no off switch. I don't know if Amir really has a fair catch button.
That's a big thing, a punt returner has
to have a fair catch button.
It's a massive thing. And nothing against Matt Vandenberg. He had a little bit too much of a off button on the punts on the 1 year that we played with him. You know, a lot of people got upset that he didn't return more balls. That's part of, you know, kind of the analysis I gave is it's a different ball game. You have to have a feel. You're right. Amir is the kind of guy who it doesn't matter if there's three dudes that are 6'4", 230 sitting in his face waiting for him to catch the ball. He's going to grab the ball and he's going to try to make a play. Inevitably, you know, obviously you have the ball with a lot more time to gauge where the defense is on a kick return. When you try to do that on a punt, things go wrong. Bad things happen. And so there you go. I don't know who will be back there. It'd be cool to see one of those other receivers back there. Reganey seems like a guy who would return punts. Who knows?
Give me Tyler Goodson for all it's worth.
Low key, dude. Like, I would love to see T Good back there. The only thing that scares me about that, and it's not something that you really have to take into account because you don't play scared, and that's just not how you do it. But putting our star running back there, there is this kind of weird risk of injury that happens on special
what
teams.
Was Desmond King?
You're right. I mean, you're right. He was just too elite. You're right. And if T Good proved to be that good at returning punts, I would say put his ass back there. I mean, that would be absolutely electric. Can you imagine T Good sitting back there, catches the ball?
I would be on the edge of my seat every time we were getting punted too.
Oh
dude.
My God, dude. I'd love to see Tyrone Tracy back there too, because he's insane in space.
That's probably who it's going to be.
Yeah, Tyrone. And he actually was a part of the press conference as well and said that the one thing he
we know him as the explosive freshman. Like, that's what he came out and did last year. Had some crazy moves, that spin move against Northwestern, did some crazy explosive stuff. He said the one thing, the one area he wanted to improve on this year was being more explosive. I mean, come on. Come on, dude. I'm so excited to watch the Hawks play, and we're so close. We're freaking, yeah. What are we? We're 2.5 weeks out.
I didn't think it was going to happen, guy, but here we are.
Here we are. The one last thing that came out of Hawkeye media yesterday was on the Iowa basketball side of things. McCaffrey did a little interview press conference thing over Zoom, said that when asked about what they were going to see from Garza this year that was different from previous years, he said he was going to be more versatile. Okay, so I'm not sure how much more versatile you get in the paint.
Dude, the kid was making threes by the dozen from 30 feet. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I don't know who guards him this year. I just don't.
Nobody.
And as a defense, you have to be shaking in your boots trying to come up with a freaking game plan against this guy. Not only that, Iowa has announced that they're going to play Gonzaga on a neutral court and Cincinnati as well. And there's a lot of
that Twitter. Is just a humongous fetish.
Gonzaga, I believe, ranked number one in the country by CBS. So we're going to have, and I believe it's happening in December. It's on the same day of the Big Ten championship. So assume everything goes right with the Iowa football team, and we're 7-1, 8-0, 6-2 even, and we're sitting in the Big Ten championship against Ohio State. I believe it's December 15th.
That day would be one of the all-time degenerate days of my entire life.
Dude, Iowa played Gonzaga basketball, a top five basketball matchup, and Iowa football playing for a Big Ten championship?
I'm not sure I could handle being conscious for that long of a span with that many Iowa emotions going on.
The Iowa fan base will explode. I mean, that could be a day of all days. There was back and forth on Twitter because people have not people with legitimate arguments, but fans have come after Iowa in the past couple years about Iowa not playing a strong schedule. So there's a tweet that was like, Iowa basketball has scheduled their two non-conference games that were up in the air against Gonzaga and Cincinnati on neutral courts. It appears that Fran is still scared. And I was like, oh, this is great. He's just like, I mean, you can't say anything now. You schedule those kind of teams, and it's incredible. And I'm excited to see them play.
What else we got, Pimp?
Let's see. I think that takes us to Ward's winners.
AKA Drake's winners, because I'm 5 of 6, people. If you've been listening to this podcast and listening to our NFL picks, I am now 5 of 6.
Yep. So because Kevin's gone, the Ward's winners segment, and not only that, but this is the first podcast. If you want to, for a comparison, hopefully you can tell the difference. You should be able to hear that my sound quality, and I've used this mic before a couple times, but it's been a hassle to kind of mix it in with the audio from Drake and Kevin. I've now got a new podcaster's dream piece of equipment where I can use this microphone, so I should sound better. Compare from this episode to the last couple episodes, you should be able to tell the difference. Not only does this piece of equipment allow me to use this microphone a little bit easier, but it also has a soundboard built into it where we can just, you know, hit the button and it plays whatever sound. So, you know, the intro sound that you hear at the beginning of the podcast, you know, I can just hit it, turn it off. Like it's got little stuff like that. I think we even have like the general like trombone sound. Like, isn't that incredible? Like, that's just good stuff.
Tell me you've got one for Ward's winners.
So I don't yet. I need suggestions. Find some cool sound bits if you're one of the fans out there. I'm going to look as well. We need a little, you know, 4 to 8 second ditty that we can play, like Ward's winners. Except for like that's Tinkerbell, Nebraska is entering the stadium type shit right there. So
you just need to play the clip of the guy saying, bring me my money.
I could do that. I could make a little something with that. But yeah, we've got a cool ass soundboard now. So that's cool. And here we are. We're going to start with Kevin. Let's start with Kevin. Drake did mention, if you've been following Drake's NFL picks, he's 5 for 6, correct? Is that right, Drake?
Yeah, 5 of 6 on the podcast.
And your boy is 3 for 6, though really close on 2 of the other ones. And so, you know, 500 or better in betting is kind of, you know, the where you want to enter in and see if you can't push that a little higher. Kevin Ward this week has 2 bets, no NFL bets. They're both college picks. And those picks are going to be Louisville -4.5 versus Georgia Tech. I actually love that pick. Louisville -4.5 versus Georgia Tech. His other pick was simply, he didn't even know the over-under. He just said, Texas, Oklahoma, whatever the over is, I'll take it. And it kind of rolls with the Big 12 theme of like, hey, they're going to score a shitload of points and they don't have very much defense. So there you go. Other college picks for you guys, for those who want to bet college football before we move on to the NFL. I have 2 picks this week. They are, neither of them are the spread. We're going over unders this week.
And I'm going with both of Tyler's picks because we discussed this before the podcast, yeah, and I actually love them both.
Yeah, this is a combo pick here, and they may change, obviously. Hopefully Thursday morning through Thursday, you can kind of get these for the same, at the same prices. But I'm going Alabama Ole Miss. The over or the spread on this game is Alabama -24. I personally hate betting spreads that are over 20. There's so much points and so much variance there. The over under on this game, Bama Ole Miss, is currently at 70.5 points. I think we're going under. I think it's going to be closer to 60. And that's one that really jumped out at me. I think we're going, it's already been bet down. It started at 79.5 and it's been bet down to 70.5. And I still don't think we're going to get there. That's a kind of a wild over underline. The other pick that I am going with is, let me find it here.
It's the Oklahoma Texas over, right?
No, it is the Kansas State TCU. Kansas State TCU line is currently at 50.5. And we're going over on that one. That is a Big 12 game. Two Big 12 teams. They need to average 26 points between the two of them. And I think that's more than doable. Both of those teams.
Most Big 12 teams come into the game with 26 points already.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, it's a prerequisite. So TCU, Kansas State over 50.5, Bama Ole Miss under 70.5. Those are the picks along with Kevin's picks. Let's roll into the NFL now. Drake, I'll start with you. We both have 3 picks in the NFL. Take it away.
All right. So I think that my lock of the week is going to be Arizona covering 7 against the Jets, yep, without Sam Darnold. So the Jets, I don't think could beat anybody this year anyways. Right. Like, they're an 0-16 team for sure.
The Jets would be like -10 versus the Hawks maybe.
And I mean, Arizona needs to bounce back. So that's my absolute lock of the week, is Arizona -7. Then I'm going to take Carolina with 2 points. I can't believe they're the dog against Atlanta, and I'm seeing them +2 right now. So I'm going to just take them for sure. And then the third one, I like Pittsburgh to cover 7 against Philly. Pittsburgh's at home, coming off a bye, great defense. And Philadelphia's has nothing impressive about them really, except for a good quarterback. And I like those 3.
Yep, those are Drake's picks. I am going to go, Kluver's picks of the week are going to, pick number 1 is going to mirror what Drake said. The Jets are just god awful. We've been talking about it. Fade the state of New York. And even with Sam Darnold, I'm taking Arizona -7. Without Sam Darnold, we're bringing in Joe Flacco. Are you serious? Arizona minus 7, lock of the decade. That one we agree on. Pick number 2 for me, I like Seattle minus 7 versus Minnesota at home. The Vikings offensively, offensively and defensively have been up and down this year. I like Russ, Danger Russ Wilson, Mr. Unlimited. The line started at 9. It's been bet down to 7. I like Seattle to cover that touchdown spread. And then let's go up to my final pick. Pick number 3 for me this week is the Jacksonville Houston game. We've got Houston minus 6. Houston is favored to win this game. I like Jacksonville. Houston just fired their coach, and I love betting on chaos. Now, it can go 2 ways. Sometimes a team can rally and kind of start playing well and, you know, play for their new coach or whatever. I just don't think that's going to happen here. I think Jacksonville is going to win this game outright, but cover 6 for sure. Those are my 3 picks of the week. That's Arizona minus 7, Seattle minus 7, and Jacksonville plus 6.5.
I'm probably going to tail you on that Jacksonville pick because I like it now that you're talking about it.
Yeah. So those are the picks of the week. And that's the podcast for the week. I don't know what much else we can say. I don't think there is a whole lot else to say.
Ricky Bobby was not on fire, but motherfuckers, this podcast is.
We're on fire in a good way. We're on fire in a good way. And I hope that you all have a fantastic weekend. It's Thursday or Friday or maybe the weekend when you're listening to this. And we're hoping it's going well for you. Football is back. Iowa football is another few days closer than it was the last time you listened to us. And when the black and gold swarm back out onto Kinnick, regardless of the fans being in the stands or not, it is going to be a good day. We are almost there. Episode 151 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Drake and I, over and out.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.